Good, okay. Morning, everyone. Welcome to the July 22nd, 2025 meeting of the Sonic Council. We'll call the meeting to order, and the first thing is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I see no recommended changes to today's.
Okay, thank you. We'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. McCarron. Second, Ms. Gruenbaum. Any questions on the motion? Then we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gruenbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next is the approval of the minutes of July 15th, 2025. Are there any questions, deletions, or additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Reading of correspondence. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have two letters. The first is from the town of Blades, Blades Police Department, and the Wish Foundation, both thanking council for the donation. That's all.
Thanks, sir. Okay, next is public comment. Okay. You can step up, please. Next is the public comment. You have 3 minutes to comment, something the county has jurisdiction over. And when the green light is on, you'll have 3 minutes. And when the amber light comes on, you will have 1 minute. When the red light comes on, I ask you to wrap it up, please.
Thank you.
Okay, please give us your name and address.
Yes, my name is Jennifer August. Address is 2 Black Duck Reach in Rehoboth. I'm in District 3. I've lived at that location for 34 years, and I've come before council to propose a consult protection and land use ordinances for existing communities based on a medical analysis of the health consequences of noise pollution, specifically pickleball noise pollution. This medical analysis, which I have for you, if I can distribute it, reports the physical and psychological consequences of pickleball noise pollution, such as severe distress, depression, suicidal thoughts, chronic PTSD, severe anxiety, hearing phantom pops as hallucinations, nightmares, cardiac conditions, high blood pressure, and concentration difficulties. Some residents have described pickleball noise as torture. The recommended distance from residences for pickleball courts to be placed is 600 to 1,000 feet away to prevent those adverse health outcomes. The land use and or a nuisance or consumer health protection ordinance should bring pre-existing communities into the fold with the same developmental permitting and inspection requirements as all other Sussex County communities for all purposes. An existing basis for this is found in pre-existing communities' recorded declarations, which are consumer contracts that correspond to their properties that have nuisance conditions, which may read something like no use or practice, which is either an annoyance or a nuisance to owners or an interference with the peaceful possession and use of the property shall be allowed. Many communities have removed pickleball courts based on residents' health concerns. I know that the county has devoted funds and there are fantastic indoor courts that have no adverse health consequences for non-pickleball players. And so I come before you to request those health and land use ordinances. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May I submit these or how do I distribute this?
Sure.
I may? Okay. I have 7.
Okay. Operator, would you check online, please, to see if anybody has any comment?
If there is anyone on the line who would like to make public comment, please dial 5-star.
Okay. Or, I'm sorry, I skipped over you. I didn't see you were signed up, but step on up, please.
Yes, and be sure you sign up if you desire to speak during public comment. There's a place back there.
I signed up.
Oh, you did?
Okay, my name is Allison White. I live in Lewis.
Sorry. Yep.
So, in last week's council meeting, Councilwoman Gruenbaum raised the concern that a surge of development applications will be submitted in order to get them into the approval pipeline while the council is working on new ordinances. It's a concern that a lot of people share, including myself. Her question made me wonder about exactly what's already in the pipeline right now. Based on information from the PLUS Board and P&Z websites, I counted 18 applications in progress. Of those 18, three are waiting for PLUS review, at least four are in the P&Z queue, and two are waiting to come before council. The land use docket is hard to navigate, so these numbers might be low. The total land acreage to be developed by these 18 applications is 1,904 acres, with a total of 2,620 single-family homes and 2,900 homes in multifamily buildings. Of the 1,904 acres that will be consumed, 1,915 are forested, and of those, 557 acres of trees will be cut. The idea that developers aren't preparing for council to implement new ordinances by rushing to get applications into the pipeline beforehand is, I believe, fantasy. If it were me, I would do the same. And the effects of the applications that are already in progress, if approved, are an indication of how much things can degrade while between now and when new ordinances are passed. Even if those ordinances take effect immediately after passage, if nothing is done, there will already be a full pipeline with thousands more people, more homes, and more cars for which there is no adequate infrastructure. The question that Councilwoman Grunenbaum posed was, what can be done about this? I don't claim to have the answer, but it seems like there are some ideas that council could consider. Can council announce an intention that anything that hasn't yet come before the PLUS board will be subject to the ordinances that are already in progress? Could council ask the PLUS board to take a pause in considering developments above a certain size in Sussex County, maybe with a carve out for affordable housing? While a 4 or 6 month pause in processing development applications might slightly decrease developer returns, given that development has been pretty much unimpeded here for the last 15 years, would that be unreasonable? Early in the year, I heard it stated in this chamber that the situation is urgent. Urgent situations need strong and timely action. Doing something to reduce the influx would be a useful step. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you very much. I'll check one more time. Operator, is there anyone online that wants to make comment?
Yes, we have one caller.
Okay.
Caller, when the line is unmuted, you will have the floor.
Good morning, Council officials, President Hudson, Vice President Riley, Councilwoman Grunenbaum, Councilman Lloyd, Councilwoman Karen, Mr. Whitehouse and Mr. Lawson. Wow, that last speaker was amazing. I agree with everything that she was saying. Just a comment to perhaps raise the Planning and Zoning Commissioner's pay from $250 per meeting to a substantial raise of $500 per meeting. If you calculate five hearings per meeting and estimate 5 hours of study and research per application, so I'm sorry, five hearings applications per meeting and 5 hours per application, you're compensating them $10 an hour, not including their mileage. Perhaps if you raise the compensation, you will get more professionals in the field interested in helping the county council by being appointed to the Planning and Zoning Commission. You may get some transportation engineers or retired transportation engineers, land use professionals or retired land use professionals, and professionals of other areas that can assist the county council in deciding what these applications are actually truly about and not just what the developer presents. You may also get a little bit more qualified than just builders and real estate agents. So I appreciate your time. I hope that you would consider raising the commission's pay so that perhaps we would get professionals in the field interested in assisting County Council with these applications. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Operators, is there anyone else online?
If there's anyone else on the line who would like to make public comment, please dial 5-star. Again, if there's anyone on the line who would like to make public comment, please dial 5-star. At this time, there are no pending comments.
Okay, thank you. We'll close the public comment. Next up is County Administrator's Report. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's Report for July 22nd, Item 1. Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for June 2025 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 194 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of June. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next up, Megan Nearboss. Good morning.
Okay, there we go. Green means go. Good morning. I'd like to introduce myself to you first. My name is Megan Nearboss. I'm the senior GIS manager here at Sussex County Government. We fall under the greater umbrella of IT, and I'm not sure how many of you are fully familiar with what we do here at the county with GIS, so I put together a little presentation for you, and if you have any additional questions about those items or you want to spend some time with the GIS team to learn more about the applications that we utilize throughout the county and even at the state level, all of the different collaborations that we have, I'd be more than happy to spend some time with you so you can learn about it. I'm here before you today to talk about our enterprise license renewal. ESRI is the name of the software vendor that we utilize at Sussex County. It is really the largest vendor throughout the entire world for GIS software. It is utilized at the state level as well. And we utilize the state contract vehicle to purchase this software. And we're looking for a renewal for an additional 3 years of that software program. So the mission in our GIS department, GIS stands for Geographic Information System. And you've seen this in the budget book. This is the mission statement to develop new solutions, be innovative, and to provide you all, decision makers, with the best possible data that we can so that your jobs are made easier by that work that we do. So who utilizes GIS? Well, originally when I started here, which shocking to myself, has been 20 years already. It was only an addressing software on a couple of specific machines, and that was all GIS was for. And now GIS is very public, and whether you know it or not, you utilize GIS all the time in your decision making, because every mapping application, every time you see a map in this, in your decision making for land use, it has come from a GIS. And we're kind of smattered around throughout the county now. The only group that we don't have an active application for is libraries, but I could probably come up with something for the bookmobile if I had a free minute. So GIS is really everywhere, whether you know it or not. So how is GIS accessed? So we have probably the most common, the one that folks are most familiar with would be that bottom left there, which is our online map viewer that is public, so all public data is available through there, and we also feed in some public data from the state level, so you will see state layers that we pull all together into one viewer. You can see all of that data at the same time. On the right-hand side are several Esri native applications that we use, and those all come along with this ELA, and we use them for field-to-office communications and inspections and all of our different teams. We utilize a lot of these internally. So how else is it accessed? GIS is baked directly into some of the heavy hitter softwares that the county uses. So we have GIS within Munis. We have GIS through IIS World, which is our CAM evaluation software. Pipe Logics that we use to get video to see what our pipe conditions are utilizes GIS. OnBase is the land use docket that I'm sure you see regularly, and that has GIS baked into it as well. Central Squared is our 911 platform, and then you know our damage prevention, misutility, we have feeds to and from using GIS as that medium to get that data into our field inspectors and back up to check off and sign off on all of those tickets that come through. We also have a lot of different scripting tools that we've built out that push and pull data from these different things. So all of the Munis inspections, all of the permits that are issued, we pull those all back down into GIS, and that was a huge upgrade because before permits were pulled on a mother parcel, say for condos, and then they had to kind of drive around and figure out where that specific unit was being built. Now it drives right onto that actual building unit because we issue those in the GIS department, and then we issue the permit on that dash assessment unit. So they know exactly where they're going instead of just, here's this big community, find where that property is. So GIS was able to make that much more efficient for those team members. We also have a lot of agency collaborations at the state level. I'm not gonna go into detail on all of these, but if you have specific questions about them or how we're working with those state agencies, I'd be happy to give you more information. The only one I'm gonna highlight today is DEMA. You may recall a few years ago, we had a tornado here in Sussex County. And part of that process is doing damage assessments and pushing that data up to the state, and then that data goes up to FEMA, and that's how we get a declaration on whether we're getting public or private assistance from FEMA. So in Sussex County, we spun up a GIS application for field users to go out and collect that damage. We actually had DEMA at the table with us when we activated, and I was able to sit next to their damage assessment teams, and we sent them out in the field so that they could get their hands on it and see. And from what they learned in Sussex County, they have now created a full statewide platform that will be rolled out soon. Sussex will be the beta testers for that to allow for full interagency collaboration. DLDOT will be in there, public health will be in there, volunteers will be in there. And it's an odd compliment, but DEMA said, you know, we never want this kind of thing to happen anywhere, but we're sure glad it happened in Sussex so we could learn from you about what GIS can do for us. So that was a really neat collaboration that they're gonna be rolling out so that we can all communicate better in an incident. And in that incident, actually, it went from several weeks to about 48 hours before we were able to get our declaration because we sat right there and did it together. Some other application examples, you're familiar with the land use docket. We do have, actually, that situational awareness viewer. That was a viewer that our folks in the 911 center were looking at. You can see the storm cell off there to the right. That's the storm cell that spawned up that tornado. So we can also pull in live feeds like weather into GIS. And then the little red dots there, that's all the live 911 calls that were coming in that appeared to be related to storm damage, and that's how we determined where our field teams would go out in the field the next day. So there's a lot of decision making that comes directly from GIS information. And then we have workload management, and that will be another area of growth in the coming few years as we're working on asset management and work order management platforms that are currently undergoing the RFP process. So GIS is a very integral part of that as well. And then another interagency collaboration, the DLDOT permit tracker, which helps both teams know how many permits are being pulled in a certain area so that we don't over allocate permits before the roadway improvements have been completed. So that was a really huge collaboration as well. So just to give you a sense of our growth within GIS, this is our retired system. You can see each one of those is a GIS server. So, you know, GIS 1, GIS 2, that was our entire public-facing server, and it went down a lot because it was being hammered by the public, and we just couldn't quite keep it up to speed. Now, every server that you see there is a minimum $20,000 purchase from Esri, and piecemealing it together just became more and more and more expensive. So to see that growth of where we are now and what we've been able to do with our ELA in the last 3 years, this is our current infrastructure. So we went from 2 machines for the public to, you can see our production environment at the top there. We've got a lot of workforce isolation to allow for better performance for all of our users, and we are now at 99.8% uptime, which we definitely could not boast previously. So this tier one system is up, and it is up with very, very high levels of consistency. So how much is GIS really used? I chose this week of Juneteenth because I thought it was an interesting metric. That top purple line there is the more public-facing applications, and then that bottom blue line is more our internal. And you can see that on Juneteenth, state agencies were closed, county offices were closed. You can see there's a real dip in usership on that day, and then it goes back up on a work day. I thought it was kind of funny. The county one stayed pretty flat because most people took off on Friday. But that it gives us really great metrics of how many people are utilizing our services. And we get about 25 million hits a month. So people are using this data, both internally and externally, and I can assure you when it goes down, or if even one layer isn't quite right, we hear about it within minutes because folks really, really do use it a lot. So I just wanna thank you all and past councils for the support that we have received for GIS. In Sussex County, we are a leader in this field, not only in the state, not only in the region, but internationally. All three of these awards are international level awards, and Sussex County is ranked very highly and is sought after for advice. And as you can see with what's going on with DEMA, we are a leader in the state, and we're hoping that your investment today will help us to continue that legacy of excellence here in the county. So that's the extent of my presentation, but I don't know if you have questions.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
When it comes to security or firewalls or anything like that, can we track who uses this thing? Say, for instance, an undesirable person wanted to look up someone on the council or some employee that they didn't like, if they wanted to see where they lived. Are there ways to track that to see who's using things?
So that actually did come up, and I spoke to Duane about that because there seemed to be some sort of incident that it was targeting a certain community types of communities that did come up. I will tell you that's a little bit more of a Duane question than a GIS question, but at that time, at least, the answer was that no, once it's in that DMZ, that demilitarized zone, it's public and it's intended to be accessed publicly. Are there other IT tools out there? Probably, but that's more of a Duane question, and I'm not the right person to answer it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. But it's just in my former life as a state trooper,
right?
I think about those things all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely, and it's a fair question.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Do you guys have base stations that stay steady around the county, or are they movable, or like, if I understand it correctly, and I do have some background in there, I feel like I do, but maybe I'm about to be screwed up.
So by base stations, do you mean like control points?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, yeah, so there is a difference between surveying and GIS, and we utilize surveyors' data to put into our GIS for accuracy. So for example, when we have an Ordinance 38 project for sewer, we get those drawings from a certified engineer, and then we put that into the GIS, and that's what we put out to our field teams, because GIS does different things that survey grade data does not. So for example, we're working on moving our data into the utility network, and what that will allow us to do is actually model flow. So we could say, we need to turn off this valve, or this valve was broken, what customers are affected. So GIS is more an analytical tool for those things, but we are not that survey level of accuracy. We still rely on surveyors to provide that accuracy for us. Yeah.
I got you. Mm-hmm. I know it gets down to like millimeter accuracy or right. meters of accuracy, and all the difference can be in the control, the station.
Yeah, so we do have field GPS units because for damage prevention, they have a requirement of being a certain level of accuracy because of not wanting to cause damage to our systems. So technically, we never say that we're survey grade in what we collect. However, we do have GPS in the field, and we pay for the correction, the satellite correction for that. And typically, we see about 4 inches of accuracy when we collect GPS points in the field. Okay.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Anyone else?
Yes, Mr. President. Megan, I use your office a lot, and in my private practice, just with all the title searchers and all the information, and I've seen the growth of what your office does. And actually, we find that anytime there is any type of conflict, it's because of the inaccuracy of the old technologies, where people were actually holding chains from one end to the other and trying to determine, and you're so precise. And I have found your office, you and your entire office, just a consummate professionals, and the jobs you're doing is great, and the amount of information that is there and retrievable is great. So I want to thank you for that and for your whole office.
That. Well, thank you very much.
Of course. And if you want to see more, just give me a shout. We're always happy to showcase all the work that we're doing. And sometimes it's not as exciting like dropping a dot for an address point. But when you see it and you go out to the 911 center and you see the difference that that dot makes, it's really awesome. So that's a standard practice with new team members. Try to take them. Here's what you're really doing, even if it's not that exciting day to day. So with that, if you would like to, I'll read.
Do you have a motion?
I do.
Okay.
Okay. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the contract addendum to extend the Esri Enterprise License Agreement for an additional 3-year term at a flat rate of $190,000 per year.
Pleasure of council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second. Mr. Lloyd. Are there any questions on this motion? Vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Quirabel.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, next up, Mr. Medlars.
Mine turned off again.
Turned itself back off, but Mike, did you do this? Okay, let's start over. Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, council members. I'm appearing every week to talk about Inland Bays, so back today. So we just touched the previous two leases, and this time I want to touch the county-owned farm lease and the associated afforestation grant we were able to obtain. So the previous leases were for ag partners, and you know they utilize our effluent spray. Once we have the loop in place, tank in place, the controls in place, and the filtration. So we need several things in place. So again, this was a long process held up by 7 years of permitting, and it sounds like a record. I've mentioned that many times, but we have expired leases which were issued in anticipation of having this available. And this is how long it really takes to move this through the process. It's mind-boggling. So in this particular case, this lease running on the year over year, the M&M farm lease for the county-owned parcel. M&M is our agricultural partner. They farm the property, they own the irrigation system, and they also have a lease with us for the farming. But they will make all the decisions on the water use. That's why it's structured as it is. We can own the land, but we cannot control the agricultural water use. So we pay them for the water use by the gallons, and we pay them a retainage to have that land available so they're ready for us to do this. So the lease is structured as a, and under the pieces they own, This one here is structured. They pay us per acre, and that's per acre of farmed ground. So we want to afforest the undesirable non-irrigated areas. They don't really like to farm. You see it on the map. They're sort of towards the Phillips Branch, where we'd like to do some more protection for runoff purposes. And so we asked for that grant from the resiliency grant from the state of Delaware. We're able to get the $150,000+, and there's a 10% match. We have other grants where we have no match, but this particular one has a 10% match. So, and that would be a not to exceed if we plant all the acreage. So that's the one. First up is the request to modify the lease to match it again with a 5-year term, and then put the renewals in there and adjust the acreage if you concur with the afforestation. So I rolled them into one motion because they're related. You need both of them to work. So if you don't mind, I have a suggested motion for the,
please read your motion.
The combination thereof.
Thank you.
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the County Council approved the second revision of the farm lease with M&M Farms LLC and authorized the execution of documents related to Delaware Forest Resiliency Fund grant.
Okay, pleasure of council. Motion, Ms. Grunebaum.
Second,
Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next week, we'll have the site package for the Inland Bays project. So I'll be back on the agenda again.
All right.
So I probably got a few more teed up. So I'd like to talk about the Wolf Neck for a second, and that has to do with the solar lease and the solar project. It's almost 2 years now since we initiated this project, where you approved the RFP. Some of you approved the RFP. And we rolled on down the line. We had the integration of the solar project into our electrical design. We had the amendments to the various phases. We had the county stepping in and saying we want to have a 10-megawatt facility where we would improve the feeder line with DP&L. We're working with the interconnection agreement with DP&L. There's a number of moving parts there. So now they're getting ready, and they're the federal law changed with regards to the tax credits associated with solar. So they have to have all their solar tax credits sold before the end of the year. So their attorneys were looking in the land use side of it. We had in the original lease that the engineering department reviews it. It's an ancillary use to our wastewater system because we're using it as a lagoon cover. So we don't have to buy a lagoon cover. That was a multi-million dollar benefit to us to keep the algae down. So in coordination with the attorneys from the Blacktail Lease Company or from the Blacktail Power Companies, they want to have a statement which deals with the what they call the permitting agreement, and that's strictly our permit. Normally, if they were not on our side, not on the utility tie-in, they would have to appear before you for conditional use. So, but because it is tied in and you've approved the original leases which had it written in there. So that is sort of a clarification of this, how we would actually review it. That'd be the engineering department. It does not pertain to the reviews by the fire marshal or by the Sussex Conservation District. That is a separate issue, pertains to our permitting. So we have that agreement before you today, and we hope that we can get that approved. That will close and hopefully get that thing all wrapped up before the end of the year so we won't lose our leases. Be it removed based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, County Council approved the permitting agreement for Blacktail 1, 2, and 3. It covers all three lease agreements as presented.
Okay, pleasure of council. Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions on the motion? And we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
See you later.
Next up is old business. Mr. Whitehouse. We have one item.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. We have one item of old business this morning, which is conditional use number 2581, filed on behalf of Zion Church Ventures, LLC. County Council may remember this from our last County Council meeting. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for storage, warehouse buildings and a car wash to be located on a 24-acre parcel located on the southwest side of Zion Church Road. And if County Council recalls, action on the application was deferred for further consideration.
Okay. Are there any questions? Okay, Mr. Moore, would you read the short title, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for storage slash warehouse buildings and a car wash to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 24.87 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 9, with conditions 10A through T. And Mr. President, it's my understanding that you did have a potential motion for amending some of the conditions.
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. The two that you had discussed with me were 10D, and if you would like, we'll do them separately, which would be removing the first sentence of 10D, so we would be deleting: if a unit is used for business purposes, comma, that business may only use the area for climate-controlled storage, period.
Okay, that would be my amendment.
So moved.
Okay, motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the amendment, or the First Amendment? Okay, hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes on the amendment.
Okay, Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes on the amendment, on the First Amendment. Motion carried.
And the second one, Mr. President, was in condition 10L, and you wanted to insert two words, lighted or. So it would then read, and currently it reads just one unlighted sign. It would be instead now read one lighted or unlighted sign. Not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted along Zion Church Road.
Yes, sir. That would be the motion, or the amendment.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the amendment? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And I'll now read the short title again as amended. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for storage slash warehouse buildings and a car wash to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 24.87 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 9, with conditions 10A through T as amended by this council.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
I vote yes based upon the testimony heard during the presentation.
My good.
I vote yes based upon the testimony heard during the presentation and the recommendation of planning and zoning.
As amended?
As amended.
Okay. Mr. Lloyd.
Based on the testimony at the public hearing and the recommendation by planning and zoning, I vote yes as amended.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Based on the decisions of planning and zoning and the hearing, I vote yes as amended.
Mr. Riley.
I also vote yes based on the recommendation of planning and zoning as amended.
I also agree with planning and zoning, and I'll vote yes as amended. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is grant requests. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Town of Bridgeville, on behalf of the Bridgeville Police Department, is requesting $1,000 for their back-to-school bash. Last grant received for this event was the amount of $1,000 from Mrs. Green and Mr. McCarron placed on the agenda.
I'll grant $1,000.
Motion, Mr. McCarron, to grant $1,000 to the Town of Bridgeville.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next one is American Youth Football. They're requesting $5,000 for their Woodbridge AYF 2025 season. Last grant received for this program was in the amount of $2,000 from Mrs. Green and Mr. McCarron, placed on the agenda.
I'll grant $1,000, I think, just in an effort to make sure I retain funds throughout the whole year. I'll go with $1,000.
Okay, a motion by Mr. McCarron to grant the American Youth Football Incorporated $1,000.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Cornerbell?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, next one is Ocean View Historical Society is requesting $5,000 for the restoration efforts for their historical village. Last grant received for this organization was the amount of $2,000 for their Coastal Town Museum from Mr. Hudson. Mr. Hudson, placed on the agenda.
I would grant $1,000 to the historical village in Ocean View from District 4 account.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions?
Or do I have to make the motion?
Well, I can make the motion on that, correct, to grant?
I'll make a motion for you.
I can do that myself, though, right? Yeah, I'll make a motion to grant.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, and the last one is Delaware Botanic Gardens is requesting $5,000 for their 2025 fundraiser. Last grant received for this event was in the amount of $4,000, which was $2,500 from Mr. Hudson, $500 from Mr. Vincent, and $1,000 from Mr. Riley. Mr. Hudson, placed on the agenda.
Okay, I would make a motion to grant the Delaware Botanic Gardens $2,500 from the District 4 account.
And I'll offer $1,000 from District 5.
Okay, so that's a total of $3,500, correct?
Right.
I'll add $500 from District 3.
Okay, $500 from Ms. Grunebaum.
Last call, anyone else?
That's $4,000 total. Okay, we have a motion and a second to grant $4,000 to the Delaware Botanic Gardens for their 2025 annual fundraising dinner. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Introduction of proposed ordinances. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have four. The first one is Mr. Lloyd's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a borrow pit to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 30 acres more or less.
I'll introduce it.
The next one is also in Mr. Lloyd's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a masonry business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 5.37 acres more or less.
And I'll introduce it.
And the next one is in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district to amend conditional use number 677 to allow for two additional lots into the River Winds, formerly known as Oak Orchard West Manufactured Home Park, to be located on a 0.37 acre portion, more or less, of a certain parcel of land lying in Sussex County, containing 35 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
And the last one is in Councilwoman Grunbaum's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an independent care facility, restaurant, and fitness center to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 4.833 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Okay, next. Council member comments. Okay, we'll move on now. We'll entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss land acquisition.
So moved.
So moved.
Motion.
Second.
Mr. Mr. Riley, second. Mr. McCarron, any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Ms. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in executive session.